Good morning. Last week we ended off by discussing some of the rights that a goslin has and some of the surprising halachas when he gets caught, what he does have to pay for and what he doesn't have to pay for. To very briefly summarize, if a goslin steals something and he improves it, so according to the Rambam, if he invested money or his efforts in improving it, he keeps all of the shvach, he keeps all of the value that his improvement caused. In contrast to a regular yoyrid who, if he improves it without being asked, gets the lesser of either the shvach or the hoitzah, his expenses or the value, a goslin keeps it all. Once the owner is miyayish, then the Rambam holds, even shvach de memela, even if there's an improvement that happened on its own, without any effort or work on the goslin's half, once there's yish, at that point and on, the goslin keeps all of the benefit. The Rama argued, the Rama understood the reason why the goslin keeps the shvach in these cases is because there was a shinoi, and a shinoi, if there's any change, even if it is a shinoi achoizer, even though it's not enough to make a kinyan, nevertheless, the shvach, the improvement that comes afterwards, will belong to the goslin. But as far as this halacha of after yish, there the Ramah doesn't explicitly say, as the machlokes had to understand it, the Shach holds he is moedet to the Rambam, most of the other achrayim hold that he argues and says that the benefit that came out on its own, even after yish, the owner would keep.
Says yish after came to
rishos,
or yish before it came?
No shin rishos. We're not talking about shin rishos. The goslin stole it, and then at some point the owner gave up. So there's yish without shin rishos. And the question is, if there was improvement after the yish, who keeps it? The Rambam says the goslin keeps it. The Ramah at least doesn't have a raya that the goslin would keep it, and the Machlokes Achronim had to understand the Ramah. This is all when there's an actual improvement in the item. In contrast, if the item just goes up in value, a goslin steals a diamond, he steals some gold, and the price increases. So in that case, the goslin does not share in that increase in value. In that case, clearly, when he gets caught, he has to give back the item at its current value. He cannot say that I somehow should share in that windfall. That has nothing to do with him. That has nothing to do. It's not shvach. It's not a change in the item. That's yoker vizol. It's just a change in the market value, and that would certainly belong to the owner. There is one important exception, and that is, what if a goslin steals jewelry? At the time he stole it, it was worth $2,000. Time goes on, the price of gold increases, and now it's worth $3,000. So if the goslin gets caught and it's still ben, he certainly has to return it. He has to return it, and he doesn't share in that windfall. What happens, on the other hand, if someone steals it from him? Or an oinus happens? Something, lightning strikes, it's melted, and now he has nothing left to return. So here we have a fascinating halacha. If you're a shomer, if your neighbor goes away on vacation and asks you to watch their jewelry, you're a shomer. You're responsible to watch it. If you're pesheya, if you don't watch it and something happens, the halacha is you pay kishas the pesheya. So if you're given the item to watch, it's worth $2,000. By the time they're away for a few months, the value goes up, they're negligent and it gets destroyed, they are going to have to pay, the shomer is going to have to pay you the full value, the full $3,000 that was worth at the time of the negligence. A goslin is different. A goslin is not a shomer. His responsibility to pay is because he stole it from the shas gazela. And therefore, his obligation is locked in at the value of the time that he stole it. And therefore, when he stole it, it's worth $2,000, even though it went up in value, and when it got lost, it was worth $3,000. He pays kashas agzela, he only pays your initial $2,000. Now this is only when it happens memela, when it got stolen. On the other hand, if the goslin takes the item and he just destroys it biyadayim, so then he's a mazik. Then if yerat hilchashayim. Just like had he not stolen it, if he goes over to you and destroys your jewelry, he pays the value at the time of the hesek, at the time that he destroyed it. So a goslin, according to most shitas, is not any better. And therefore, if he breaks it later, he will have to pay the value of the time that he broke it. But when he doesn't break it, it just gets lost on its own. Since he's not a shomer, his responsibility is not because of his negligence. His responsibility is because he stole it in the first place, and therefore we go back to the moment that he stole it, and that is his obligation. Now the Pesach Chayshin points out a very, and he says actually a very big chiddush. He said, what happens if a person steals an item 20 years ago? Now, anything that you stole 20 years ago, what happens over time? Inflation. The price of everything goes up, or the value of money goes down, depending on how you look at it. So does this mean that every time someone's a Goslin and he doesn't get caught for 20, 30 years, does he only pay the value back then? Because kol gazal mishalem kishas gazela? Or can the nigzal say that no, this item, it's really worth the same. It was just inflation ate away at the value of money over time. I want you to reimburse me what it's worth in today's dollars. If it's be'en, you give it back. But if it's, the question is, if it's not be'en, and now how do you look at it back then? Back then it was worth $200, pay the $200. Or, very nice, back then it was worth $200 in 1970 money. But that money today would have much more value, so perhaps you pay the higher price. Pesach Chayshin is mitzadeh that by inflation he says it would be different. He says perhaps they would be, that the chiyuv would be to pay in today's money, and therefore he's mitzadeh. He doesn't say it for sure. He's mitzadeh that we ignore the effects of inflation. That yoiker, that increase in value, pay current hezek, not the shasak zela. Now, Pesach Chayshin is unsure. He says it is a chiddush. He says, I'll kopon, I mean, at least in Hilchot, if you pays the higher amount, he says, a problem of ribbis, it won't be. I don't want to go into why yes, why no. But again, it's a chiddush in the Pesach Chayshin. It's not clear lahalacha, but there is such a tzad that we could adjust for inflation when there was a long-term geneva.
Is there a stole money?
Yeah? What?
Maybe if he stole money, there's no problem.
Stealing money would be much harder, because in stealing money there's a separate halacha, and this comes up in Hilchos Ribbis, that we don't, in halacha we look at the value of money as static. And if there's inflation, which means everything, all prices go up, in halacha we look at it as the price of the goods went up, the price of money stayed the same. We don't look at the money got less value, but we look at the price of the goods went up. So in that case, to argue that I can get back more dollars would be a very difficult argument to make. In Metaltolin, where it's a question of can I adjust, is this Kashas Akzela? There he has his Kiddush.
In many previous Shurim, you would sometimes point out that, you know, the Sfarim would be like
defined as Kashas Akzela.
Now, this is, we've spoken about if you improve the item, that very often the Goslin will keep it. If it simply becomes more valuable, that goes back to the owner, that goes back to the Nigzal. What if the Goslin used it? He steals a car. He goes ahead, drives it for 10 years, and when he's finished using it, he says, you can have it back. So if he physically caused damage to the car, he wore it out, so he's a mazik again. And a goslin will have to pay for the hezek that he caused. However, putting aside the hezek, let's say the hezek is minimal. Or, for that matter, if you just borrowed it for a week, there's no real difference in its value. If you look at the car before and after, the fact that it's another 200 miles doesn't change its value. If there's no hezek, do you have to pay for the use or not? So here we have a tremendous chiddush. There's a difference between karka and metaltlin. Metaltlin, the halacha is, once a goslin steals it, he pays kishas agzela. He does not have to pay for the use. And therefore he rides around for a couple of days, months, years, whatever it is. He saves himself a fortune. He doesn't have to buy or rent a car because he's able to use your car. Nevertheless, his chiyuv is to pay kishas gezeila. He does not have to pay you for the use. The only exception by Vitalin is if when he took it with the intention to pay, and it was something which is ultimately schiras, you need both conditions, then you can send him a bill. But if he took it as a goslin, his chiyuv of a goslin is to pay back the thing that he stole. He doesn't pay for the use, and for that matter, at least b'day adam, the owner cannot bill him for the fact that he didn't have the use. Every time someone steals an item from you and then returns it a year later, during that year you weren't able to use it. That certainly is a loss. You weren't able to use it, but that is minyas revach. It's at most a grama. And there's no chiyuv bidei adam to pay the owner for that lost use. Sefer Chassidim says, if you want a real, if you want to do tshuva, you want mechila, you have lotzei sidei shemayim, you certainly have to pay the owner for any loss that he had. And the fact that he couldn't use the item qualifies. So there's a chiyuv bidei shemayim. But bidei adam, you're not a goslin, you're not a mazik, you're not a garmi, you cannot force the goslin to pay for the lost use that over the period of time that he was a goslin. It's only a grum. It's indirect, and bidei adam you can't be mechayev. Certainly, again, that's the Sefer Chassidim says it's lost profit. Sefer Chassidim, I believe, his case is even a bigger chiddush. You stole money, and the victim says, "This money I was going to invest. I had a business to run. The money would have earned money." So bidei adam in all these cases there's no chiyuv. His chiyuv is locked in kishas gzeila, but bidei adam latzis dei shemayim he would have a chiyuv to pay. That actually the Gemara says that this halacha that if you steal a car and you use it, that when you return it, you do not pay for the actual use. That is your typical run-of-the-mill goslin who stole a car. On the other hand, if this is a person who is a goslin, he's a professional, he decided many years ago that why buy a car? I heard this wonderful shir that I can steal it and then use it and I won't get a bill. So once this is his mahalach achayim, the Gemara has a case where they made a knas because to stop this kind of behavior. So if this is what the person is doing, he's stealing things, using it, and taking advantage of the halacha, then the Gemara says you make a knas. So the Rosh says that this knas, this is the Gemara over there, in Amoira is the one that actually made the knas. So the Rosh says you need an Amoira, you need a Bez Din Mumchim Yochid Shebedar, you need to go to the top to start making knasas. If every run-of-the-mill Bezdin would start making knasos, they would probably wreak more havoc than the Ganavim would. And therefore, there are limitations on this right. Now, who is the Bezdin Yuchad Shebedar and who isn't? I leave that for some other people to get involved with. Well, let's take a step back. The first thing is everyone agrees that God, it's usher to steal. And the Bezdin can find the Goslin, they're going to stop it. The question is, now that he was caught and we're forcing him to pay for the loss, can we also bill him for use, which is against the halacha of kol gazanim mishalim kishas gzeila? So this kenas that we add on extra chiyuvim because of the avodah he done, that has only limited applications. But conceptually, we're going to anyone who's a gana, we're going to stop him. So
let me stop him.
And economy. Today, Bezdin does not have enforcement. Today, Bezdin does not have enforcement power. Bezdin can only deal with dinei mamonos and paskin chayev or potter. Chayrim, they have limited. They don't generally don't put a person in chayrim just for doing averus. They put him in chayrim only if he will not listen to the Bezdin. And even so, they generally do not put him in chayrim. They put out a letter that he is worthy of being put in chayrim. But they generally stay away from being goyzer in actual chayrim. Yes, we have Bate Din today have very limited power. Part of it is simply because it's not really the Bezdin's choice, it's the community's choice. The way the governments or communities used to run is that the community would go ahead, they would elect Zayin Tavair, they would elect a Bezdin, and when the community elects a Bezdin, now the Bezdin has enforcement power. If the community, because of a lack of achdus or of confidence in the Bezdin, chooses not to, and they don't give anyone the authority to make takanas, then they end up with a situation where there are no takanas. You can't blame the Bezdin. If you want a Bezdin to make takanas, then it's something that the kehila, as a kehila, has to enact. And
can a community today set up Zayin Tavair?
Sure. If you have a community and they have an election, and they vote in people, these people are in charge, mumuna on the kahal, and that is what historically was done.
So what can they do?
Go right ahead. I think if you what?
Whatever you let them do, they can do it, right?
It's not for today's shir, but unfortunately there's not enough achdus to pull it.
Essentially we're kind of relying on the bigger government does.
So going back, so as far as using it by metalin, you cannot bill someone for using it. Karka is different. Because karka is not, the halacha is karka in an exelis, which we'll get to a bit later on. If you steal someone's house or property and you use it, there the halacha is different. There, very often, you will have to pay for rent, you will have to pay for your usage. This is totally in the sugya of zanan of ezelechaser. Assuming the owner had a loss because he wasn't able to use it or he could have rented it out, and you had a benefit, there you will have to pay. That's We had by Rikos a while back the Shirim of Zenev Zalichasa. We're not going to go through the details, but at least conceptually, when you steal karka, when you take someone's house, there you will be responsible to pay for the use if you cause a loss to the other person. So this is when you actually use the item. What happens if you steal someone's car? Now, you don't want to drive around a stolen car, because who knows, you'll get caught, you'll get pulled over by the cops. So instead, you rent it out to someone else. Nice plan, you rent it out, you lease it to someone, he pays you rent every month, and then you get caught. So certainly the car goes back to the owner. The person who drove the car doesn't necessarily have to pay for the use, because it's probably not different than the Goslin. But the question becomes, who is entitled to the rent? The Goslin has been collecting rent on your car for the past few months. Zok the Beis Yosef, a tremendous chiddush. Zok the Beis Yosef, if a Goslin used the car, can you send him a bill for using it? No. Car goes on Mishasa Gzela, we look at it, he has Kinyana Gzela, he used his thing. Renting it out to someone else, he's selling the use that he had. Now he had it Gzela, but it was his. He had Kinyana Gzela. And therefore, Zok the Beis Yosef, a tremendous chiddush. If the Goslin rents it out, he has the right to keep the rental income that he collected while the item was stolen. This is the chiddush of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is arguing a Ramah, and the Ramah, Prisha, the Bach, almost everyone argues on Beis Yosef and says nothing to it. And they say two reasons. The way the Sma explains it is that what's pshat in this halacha? How come if you steal a car and use it, why don't you have to pay for rent? It doesn't sound very fair. Zok the Sma, you're right. Al pi din, you should have to pay for using it. This is another takonas hashav. We want to make it easier for a Goslin to do tshuva. So if he stole the car and he drove it for a year, if we told him he has to go back and pay the value of renting a car, he'll never do tshuva. He'll never return the car, he'll never do tshuva, nothing will happen. To make it easier for him to do tshuva, we say, give back the car, don't worry about the use. This is a din de rabbanon to make it easier to do tshuva. Zok the Sma, it's one thing to say, if you used it and we want to force you to take money out of your pocket for that use, that, because we want to encourage tshuva, we're not going to make you pay. But to say you can profit, you can take money from someone else and put it into your pocket to help you do tshuva, that's too extreme. And therefore, there's no takana in this case, and it would go back to the nigzal, to the owner, he would be able to recover all the rental income. Others say that it's nothing to do with takana. They say it's maker hadin. There's a concept that we've touched upon a number of times of ketzad haloy oisa schoira biparosech chachaveira. You can't make a profit off selling someone else's cow. If it belongs to him, it doesn't make sense that you're profiting from someone else's thing. Since this car belongs to the owner, the nigzel, you can't make money off it. You can't profit by renting it out. And therefore, according to Rav Paiskim, this rental income will go back to the victim. It'll go back to the owner. Similarly, the Nesivus has a case, actually a very interesting case. A person stole an item. It was worth $100. Now this Goslin, besides being a Goslin, was also a very shrewd businessman. And he managed to sell the item for $500. He got caught. So he tells the victim, listen, the item's not around anymore. It was worth $50. Here's your money. The victim said, wait a second. You sold my item for $500. Now, it was a great deal. You made a fortune off it. But you sold my item. I'm entitled to that windfall. So the Nesivus says the victim is right for this reason. We have a concept of ketzad haloy oisus schayer b'parasu shachaveh, right? Since this money was received in exchange for the victim's item, he is entitled to this money, even though it's much more than the actual value of the item. Bottom line is this windfall came from him, and therefore it flows back to the owner, it flows back to the nigzel. We do not allow the Goslin to profit in any way from this, from the gzela.
So that would apply also to the original case of the bean. He didn't put it in his house, he put it in someone else's house, and he got profit on that profit. Even though he doesn't take the bean out, he has to give the profit back to the original.
Well, whenever a Goslin sells it at a profit, then that profit, we're saying, would go back to the nigzel. Now, just to clarify this, we've discussed a shinui koyin. Because if a Goslin takes silver, or he takes something and he melts it down, and he creates something new out of it, where Shinoi Koina, that item, that new item belongs to him. If he sells that at a profit, he's going to keep that money. Because that's called Parosoi Shel HaGazlan. With Shinoi Koina means it becomes his. Now the victim has a claim for dollar for money. You have to pay him back the value, the time you stole, the value of the Shinoi, whatever, you know, depending on the case. Then if you went ahead and you improved it, you made something out of it, that's your value, that's your creation, you keep the profit. The case over here is, you stole the item and you sold it, there's no change. So since you're getting the money for the victim's item, he is the one that is entitled to all the profit, and he's the one that keeps the revach, whatever you made, off that deal.
So putting the bimi in is exactly.
So these are the halachas of when there's a benefit, when there's a revach, who that flows back to. Let's discuss now the idea of yish. Now we all know there's a concept of yish that if a person loses something, so the chivah shavas aveda, you find a lost object, you have to return it to the owner. If a person loses something and he gives up hope of ever recovering it, he is miyayish. There the halacha is different. There the halacha is there is no chivah shav. Once the owner lost control of it and he gave up hope of ever recovering it, it is no longer his, or he no longer has the right to demand it be returned. And in that case, finders keepers, whoever picks it up would have the right to keep it. He had no obligation to return it. Now there's a similar concept by a goslin. The goslin steals something, he has to return it. The goslin steals something and the owner gives up hope of ever recovering, the halacha is the goslin still has a chiyuv to return it. Because since it came to his hand, he stole it, it was a suros liyadeh, his obligation to return will never go away. However, if the goslin steals something, he then sells it to an innocent third party, the owner gave up hope in between. And so it was stolen, the owner gave up hope of recovering it, and then it was sold to a third party. The halacha here is this third party has no obligation to return it to the victim. There was yish, he already gave up hope. There was shinui reshus, it was transferred, he bought it from the goslin. So there's no, the buyer has absolutely no chiyuv hashava to return. Now the Rambam holds you can keep the item, you have to return its value. We hold the halacha, according to Reuf Paiskim, you return nothing. The goslin still obviously owes the money. And the victim, when he finds the goslin, he can force him to pay the value. But the buyer, the person who bought it after yish, there was yish and shinui reshus, he can keep it, he has no responsibility whatsoever to pay it back. Now, based on this, in many cases, so if the goslin steals it, a goslin always has to return it. However, if there's yish, and then he sells it to someone else, befrat, if the person doesn't know about it, then the person who buys it has no chiyuv hashava. When the nigzal approaches him, and he tells him, listen, your claim, your issues with the goslin, go after him for the money, but you have no claim against me, I'm keeping the item, and I don't have to pay you back anything. Now, halakha l'may, this is something that comes up very often, where they're stolen goods, you track down the owner. So the crucial question, you track down who has it, and it turns out it's someone who bought it from the goslin. So the crucial question is, did the owner give up hope or not? If he was miyayish, if he gave up hope, he has no right to recover from the buyer. He has to go after the goslin. Masha Enkein, if he never gave up hope, if he was still looking around for it, he's trying to recover it, then even though you're an innocent buyer, you would have to give back the item. There'll be a takanas hashuk, you'll get reimbursed for your expense in many cases, but the item still belongs to the victim and it would have to be returned to him.
Is the same thing with a matana as well?
Yes, a matana has the same concept of yish and shinui reshus. Because the point, according to most Rishonim, is that really yish itself should be a king. The reason why it doesn't work is because a goslin that stole it has a chiyuv hashava, and his chiyuv hashava stops him from being zayich in it. Once he gives it away, whether he sells it, whether it's a matana, this new purchaser or recipient never had a chiyuv hashava, he was never a goslin, and therefore it becomes his. That's the pashup shot again, there are kashas on it, but that's the basic understanding. Now, an exception to this actually is a person steals something, there's a yish, and then he dies. So when a person dies, who gets his assets? His yarshim. His sons will yarshim it. Can they claim that there was yish? My father was a goslin. He stole it. There was yish. And then he died. So now that we took it over, there's a shinui reshus. And therefore, you know, go after my father, go after his kever, if he left over in the chasen, maybe he left in the chasen, but we're keeping the item. The Gemara's maskana is nothing doing. The Gemara's maskana is Rishus Yoyrish Lach Rishus Lakech. We look at the Yorshim as really stepping into the father's shoes. And just like the father, the Gazlan himself, cannot keep the item, that even though there's Yish, he still has a chiv to return it. His Yorshim are like they stepped into the father's shoes, and they also would have a chiv to return it. They cannot use the Shin Rishus. It's only when it goes to an outsider, there's a matana, there's a sale, there we have the concept of the Shin Rishus, but Yorshim do not qualify. Now you'll have a absolutely fascinating nafkamina. What happens if a person dies? You have a Gazlan, robs a bunch of people. There's a Yish. He then writes a tzava. And he leaves some of his assets to his sons and some of his assets to his daughters. And he does. What is the halacha? Do his children have to return the item? So what do we say? Normally, if a Gazlan steals something, gives away a present, does the recipient, if it's after Yish, does the recipient have to return it to the owner? No. There's a Yish and Shina Rishos. Mashiach, if the Gazlan steals it and he dies and his Yorshim get it, do they have to return it to the owner? Yes. Yorshim are not a Shina Rishos. So let's think about this case. The person, the Gazlan said, I'm giving half my asset to my son, half to my daughter. The Nechasim that you gave to the son is a Yorish. So when the son's a Yorish, and even if there's a will, the son would have a chiv to give it back. He's not kind of. However, what you gave to the daughters, as we've learned by Yichus, a daughter is not a Yorish. She's not a Yorish. Now you can write a will. You can give it to her by matana. It can be mitzvah kain divrei ameis. There are all sorts of tricks you can do to give it to her. But however she's getting it, it's not by Yerusha. It's by matana. So l'chayr, the daughter is a makabel matana. So she can say, there's Yish and Shina Rishus. So you'd have a very unusual situation where whatever the son's Yarshin, they would have a chiv to give back because Rishus Yarish Kirishus Lav Kirishus Lekeach Dami. By Sheenkin, whatever the daughters got, but Matana, there, since it's a Matana, it would be a Yish and Shina Rishus, and they'd be able to say, we're keeping it. You have a claim against the estate, you'll work it out however that works out. The actual item itself belongs to us because there is Yish and Shina Rishus. Correct. So that we discussed by Richos how a will works. And we said it's mitzvah kaim devar hames. So kaim devar hames essentially means the sons yarshin it, but they have a chiv to give a matana to her. So it's true the Yerusha to the sons is not a shin rishos, but once they give it over to their siblings, at that point it's a matana, and at that point l'chayr it should be a shin rishos. So this is that loch of shin rishos. That he gives it away, he sells it, after yish, the recipient keeps it, doesn't have to pay anything back. Mashenkein, if it's Yarshin, there it's not a Shina Rishos. Interestingly enough, if someone steals something from a Gazlan, that is not a Shina Rishos either. Shina Rishos has to be that the Gazlan gives it away or sells it. If it's taken from him against his will, that will not qualify as a Shina Rishos. And there, in that case, the owner would have the right to go after whoever he wants, either the first Gazlan or the second Gazlan, but there would be no defense of Shina Rishos, that he would still have a chiv to go ahead and return the actual item to the owner. It wouldn't be kanei to him at all. Now, although this is a halakha mufreshes, that once there's Yish and Shina Rishos, you're allowed to keep it. Nevertheless, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yudal, it says that someone who wants to be lotzei sedei shemayim should not take advantage of this halakha. And if you buy something or you get a present, the owner comes, even though it's after Yish, even though it's after Shina Rishos, you should go ahead, lifnim Mishur Sadin, and give it back to the rightful owner. Zok the Ramah takes this a step further. Zok the Ramah, although it's a halacha mufureshes that you keep it after Yish and Shina Rishos, says that was in the time of the Gemara. Today he says, Dina Machlusa Dina. The minhug is that any stolen item has to be returned, regardless of there was yish, there wasn't yish, shin rishos, no shin rishos, you always give it back. And therefore the Ramah says, today we force a person, even after yish and shin rishos, to return it to the owner. Now the Shach is matmi on this. Because the Shach's shita is that dina malchusa dina cannot override halacha mefureshes. So if the halacha is yish and shin rishos, it's yours. You don't have to give it back. then how can we say, because of Dina Malchus Adina, the halacha changes, you have to return it? So what the Shach says is that this halacha doesn't really mean Dina Malchus Adina. That's not what the Rambam means. Really, if it's either a minhag or a takana that they made in times already of the Trumas Hadash, it was a takana that it should be given back. The way the Ktzais explains it is, because there's Lefnim Meshurus Adin to give it back anyway, and because legally that is what the Malchus insisted, so they were Mesakin that in this case we're going to be Kaifa on Lefnim Meshurus Adin. It's not voluntary, it's not just a nice thing to do. They made a takana that here we're going to force you. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, even if there's yish and shin rishus, still we're going to force you to go l'fnim mishurus adin, we're going to force you to return it to the victim. They'll have to pay you for what you laid out, that's already the takana sashok. But keep the item, even if there was a yish and shin rishus, you would not be able to do because of this takana. Zakta d'ktsois, a tremendous chiddush. Why are we forcing you to give it back? So the way the Shach explains it, and the way the Ktzais explains it, is it's a lefnim mishurus adin. But normally lefnim mishurus adin is voluntary. Here they made a takana, you have to go lefnim mishurus adin, you have to give it back. What's the halacha if a poor person finds an aveda? He's an ani. And the aveda belongs to a regular person, he's not an ani, he's an asher. So normally, after yish, where you have the right to keep it, it's a lefnim mishurus adin to give it back to the rightful owner. Is an ani mechuyev, or is there a lefnim mishurus adin to give back money or pay out money that he can't afford to do this lefnim mishurus adin? The halacha is no. The halacha that we push you to do lefnim mishurus adin is if you can afford to do it. If you can't afford to do it, we can tell you, go ahead, give away the money that you're entitled to alpi din, that you're going to use to feed your kids supper, give that away to be a tzadik. That we can't ask you to do that. Zok the Tzais. If the whole basis for this halacha by a gazlin is only because of the mishurus adin, that we're kaifa, it comes out that if the gazlin sells it or gives it to an ani, even this takana, this to give back, will not apply. Since he's an ani, he is not subject to lefnim mishurus adin. You can't say he has an obligation to give away money that he can't afford. Therefore, the Ktzais is mechadesh that an ani that gets something after yish and shin rishus can keep it, even today, even when there is a takana and minog, but it will not apply to an ani. It will only apply to a regular case.
You say he can't afford it. He's a woodlot zero for money, or even not?
He's an ani. You can have an ani who's not taking tzedaka, but it means he's roy for tzedaka, which means he has less than 200 zuzim. He might be somehow managing to make ends meet. He gets a job, he this, and therefore he's not mutal on the tzibur, but he has the right to ask for tzedaka because he doesn't have what he needs.
So then certainly an ani.
And the Ktzais's chiddush is that this takana does not apply to an ani because he's not mechuyev to do a lefnim mishurus adin. Now this whole discussion really leads us to a very basic question: is when do we assume that an owner gives up hope? There's gezel, you get robbed. At what point do we say there's yish? So when do we assume there's yish? So the Gemara says we have to look at two things. The first thing is the person who stole from you, is he a yid or a goy? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, and I'm not making this up, if a goy steals from you, then you have hope of recovering. If a yid steals from you, then things are much tougher, and you're miyayish. Why? Because if a goy steals, what are you going to do? You're going to call the cops, you bring them to court, and as long as they find circumstantial evidence, it smells like he's a crook, they're going to throw him into jail, they're going to force him to pay. Ma'ashengen, if it's a yid, you bring him to Beis Din. Beis Din's going to know, okay, you stole from me. Okay, do you have Edom? No Edom. Can you prove that he actually stole it from you? Maybe you sold it to him. There, you have to bring compelling evidence before Beis Din can be Moitzi Mamon. It is much more difficult to have a Beis Din make a gazlan pay than a Goyish court. And therefore, the Gemara says, the maskana is that a gazlan of if a goy steals, you are much less likely to be miayish than if a yid steals from you. That's the first parameter. Okay, we got that. The second thing we have to look at is it a gnevu or gazela? A gazlan is someone who openly steals. He comes in the middle of the street, pulls out a knife, and says, you're wilder your life. So you know who it is. The problem is he's a gangster. He still has the knife. You're afraid to start up with him. So in that case, although today you're afraid to start up with him, but the Derech Olam is today he's a gangster. Today he has his mafia behind him. But you're sitting there, one day the time will come, his mazel will run out, his gang will forsake him, and at that point, I'll get my money back. Masha Enkein, if someone breaks into your house at night, no one sees him, you don't know who it is, or even if you know who it is, but it's not done openly, there are no edim, so there it's much harder to recover, because it's much more difficult to prove who it is, and therefore there's a greater probability of being the Aish. So now that we have these two gedarim, we have a huge machlokes had to take it. According to the Mechaber, you are always miyayish, unless the person who stole it is a goy and he did it bigzeli, he did it openly. If you have both mayos, it's a goy, so it's easy to go to court against him, and he's a gazlan, everyone knows who it is. In that case, you're not miyayish. Otherwise, in any other case, people tend to be miyayish because it's very hard to recover things that are stolen. So certainly, if in any given case he's not miyayish, he establishes that, then good. But the default, we're going to assume, unless it's a gazlin, a goy, the default is as yish. The Shach holds the other extreme. He holds a person is never miyayish. He always holds out that hope, maybe I'll recover, maybe I'll be able to track the person down. Unless it's a ganav yisrael, where it has both chisroinus. Number one is a yid, it's hard to collect from. Number two, it's begneva, it's hard to prove who it is. In that case, you're going to give up. Every other case, you are not miyayish. The default is you're not miyayish unless proven otherwise. So there's a tremendous machlokes. According to the Mechaber, it comes out in most cases, there's yish. Most cases, when a person realizes he's robbed, you know it's very hard to recover. In most cases, you're miyayish. And if someone who buys it there afterwards, even if he buys it the next day, he'll be able to keep it because it's yish and chinu rishos. According to the Shach, you're generally not miyayish. It's only in the extreme case where a yid stole it. Biganeva, that's the only case as a default yish. Otherwise, we assume there's no yish unless you can bring edim. Now, the Shar Mishpat's kasha is, according to the Shach, you're only miyayish when it's a ganev Yisrael. How in the world do you know who stole it from you? He's a ganev. He broke it at night while you were sleeping. How do you know if he's a yid or a guy? So you could be madche. The case is you saw his yarmulke on the way. Yagadav means he tried to do it secretly. It doesn't mean no one saw him. But the Shai Mishpat has a very nice chiddush. He says it depends whether in this area are roiv ganvei Yisrael or roiv ganvei Akum. If most of the ganavim around here are yid, then you're going to assume it's a yid. You're going to be miyayish. Ma'ashengein, if it's roiv ganvei Akum, if you're in a place where most of the people who break in are goyim, so there the victim is going to assume that whatever happened was perpetrated by the roiv, and in that case, if roiv of them are goyim, he will not be miyayish. So according to the Shai Mishpat, we don't look at in reality whether it was a yid or a goy. We look at what the roiv is, what the victim will assume. And if he'll assume it's a yid, then he will be miyayish. If he'll assume that it's a goy, he won't be miyayish, regardless of who it ends up being actually lamaisa.